Every year I'm just thrilled when I see that first dandelion crop up against the green grass. And this year, I noticed the first dandelion that cropped up was earlier than usual, so I took a picture of it.
Maria Hodkins has kept an illustrated nature journal in her Paonia backyard since 2003. And when she looked back at her old photo albums, she saw that this year's dandelions bloomed 2.5 weeks earlier than 2 years ago.
That was kind of odd to me.
Maria wasn't alone. Scientist Mark Schwartz of the University of Wisconsin keeps his eyes out for blossoming lilacs to keep track of the spring growing season. His research suggests the growing season has been moving 1 to 1.5 days earlier every decade for the last 50 years. But this year, Schwartz saw his local lilacs blooming earlier than ever. And according to his models,
but it would appear that it has been the earliest spring in terms of the beginning of the growing season going back to the early 40s.
Back when they started keeping weather records in the first place. Still, spring is one of the most variable times of the year, so unusual weather events, day to day, are to be expected.
What was so different in this particular spring is that we had a sustained amount of warmth for several weeks.
In March alone, over 13,000 weather records were broken nationwide, most of which followed an unusually mild winter. And all combined,
it means the plants are advanced a bit more than they may have typically have been.
And typically, that has been bad news for another guy named Schwartz. Jeff Schwartz also keeps watch on spring blossoms, cherry and apricot blossoms.
They're the most susceptible when they're in full bloom.
And despite the March warmth, fruit farmers still had to worry about their crops freezing. When the temperature dipped below 26 degrees, Jeff Schwartz stayed up all night lighting bonfires to warm his orchards just outside of Hotchkiss. And he's still not sure how much of this year's crops survived.
Let's see what we got. It's going to be a cluster of cherries, you know. That's the flower, right? If you peel it open.
Schwartz peels off the petals and breaks open the center of the flower. Inside is a teeny tiny cherry. But it looks like it's been burned.
It didn't survive the freeze. Just got frosted. It's okay. Plenty of cherries left.
Fruit farmers have always wrestled with late spring cold snaps, particularly in the west where the air is dry and at altitude can lose heat quickly when the sun angles are still low. But with blossoms arriving earlier and earlier, Jeff Schwartz wonders if it's still possible to count on harvests in the coming years.
Farming fruit on the edge of the mountains like this is historically sketchy, a little bit. Are changing weather patterns, are warmer winters, warmer early springs going to make fruit farming here just too risky? Straight up.
Well, Jeff had a very good question.
Ika Ludeling of the World Agroforestry Center in Kenya studies how changing temperatures affect fruit trees.
I think farming too close to these mountains is probably still going to be possible, but the question is just if the current species distribution it can be maintained, or maybe we have to start growing different trees.
And choosing the right trees, Ludeling says, is tricky business. Trees have to be in sync with their environment. That's especially true of pitted fruit trees like cherries and apricots, which originally come from Central Asia. Winters there are especially harsh and long, and the trees evolved a special temperature clock to fall dormant and survive.
The problem now is the trees need to know when to wake up in spring.
The trees count both the number of cold days gone by as well as warm ones to know when winter is over. So while on the one hand, blooms can happen earlier in some places as spring temperatures rise, warmer winters can also prevent blooming because the trees haven't registered enough cold days to wake up.
As it warms, there may be two effects. There's both a delaying and an advancing.
And how exactly that will play out is still an open question. But fruit tree growers around the world need to know. And unlike annual food crops like corn and wheat, many of the most important questions can't be worked out in any one season. And that makes climate change an even more complex challenge for fruit farmers.
Because they have to plan for longer. If you plant a fruit tree now, you expect it to give you a good yield in 20 years' time. And of course, the climate may have shifted a little bit. So growing the same species or the same varieties that your grandfather grew was probably not a very good idea.
For now, Ludeling says, farmers like Jeff Schwartz should take a look at what other people in other places with similar climates are growing. particularly areas that are a little bit warmer.
But try to find out what kind of species are grown in those locations, and those may actually be interesting options for the future.
So while prediction isn't so straightforward, Colorado fruit farmers may find new spring times actually work out to their advantage. For Jeff Schwartz, the early blooming may not go so well for cherries, but the apricots had already lost their flowers by the time temperatures dropped. The trees are bursting, and it's hard for him to contain his excitement.
There's so many fruits, right? This tree, all this tree wants to do is produce as many seeds as possible.
In the meantime, citizens, farmers, and scientists alike will all need to keep close watch for changes each season. These days, every bloom and every harvest counts. For KVNF and I See Change, this is Julia Kumari-Drapkin.